Moncrief on News Talk.
90 years ago, a piece of legislation came into force that still exists. It was the culmination of a campaign by the Catholic Church to protect morals from what the Church regarded as a source of evil, dancing. Daniel Carey is a postdoctoral researcher at DCU. Good afternoon, Daniel.
Good afternoon, Sean.
When did the Church first become concerned about dancing? Haven't we always been dancing?
I suppose the roots of this campaign go back to the mid-1920s, so it's going on for essentially a decade before the legislation comes in. Now, the focus of my research is on a newspaper called the Catholic Standard, which begins life in 1928 and ends until 1978. And what's interesting is you essentially get a version of that complaint throughout the decade. So it very much goes on up until the legislation is passed in the mid-1930s. But a version of it is still going on in the 1960s and beyond,
yeah,
as well.
But what happened in the 1920s, Daniel, that suddenly the Church became alarmed by this?
I think there was a general concern in the post First World War society of a loosening of morals, a particular focus on kind of the policing of women. You get an odd mix of women as temptresses on the one hand, and yet women that need to be protected from young men doing bad things at the same time. So you get this in Lenten pastoral letters that are issued every year. You have members of the clergy intervening in court cases where there are attempts to modify the rules around licensing. And so it takes a number of different forms before the legislation is passed.
But I'm assuming though that there had been a dramatic growth in dance halls around the country from the 1920s onwards?
That's a good question. It seems from the material that I've seen in the Standard that the word mushrooming is used in one of the a pseudonymous letter to the editor from someone in Clonmel in County Tipperary, and they're suggesting there has been a mushrooming of dance halls owned for private profit and without proper supervision, which was a particular concern that the Church had as well. And you see that in the legislation. Actually, there are seven criteria that appear when the legislation is finally passed, and specifically the ease or difficulty of Gorda supervision in terms of the venue is one of the criteria that the judge is meant to take into account when ruling on whether or not to grant the license for the dance hall.
Right. Okay. And so when they finally got what they wanted, that supervision would specifically consist of what? Would there be a Garda presence in the dance hall?
That isn't stated explicitly in the legislation. And what's interesting is that it still doesn't go far enough for a lot of the different members of the hierarchy. So, you know, in Cashel, which is said to have gone dance mad. The Dean of Cashel, Monsignor Innocent Ryan, is appointed to head up a five-man, and they are all men, five-man committee to put together dancing regulations, which would supplement the legislation. So they're talking specifically about the kind of things that women should and shouldn't wear. Mm. So Irish fashion is fine. Anything that's considered indecorous is out or to be reproved by those in charge. And there's also rulings in the regulations, not in the legislation, but in this Cashel regulations, they have suggestions about the kind of dance that should or shouldn't be allowed. So again, Irish dance is fine, or what they call dances that are Irish by immemorial usage. But that includes things like the polka, which I don't think anyone would suggest is an Irish dance. So specifically, they're coming out against jazz,
yes,
and slow motion dances. So jazz is a particular bugbear through the 1920s and the 1930s. And the complaints are quite explicitly racist. Like it's referred to as the music of the jungle, and perhaps fine for Africa, but not for Ireland. So it's quite explicit and particularly referring to the notion of men and women getting up close and personal in a way that's considered inappropriate.
And this music, when on the odd occasion there might be some jazz music, this is being performed by bands, I assume.
That's a good question. I recently came across a documentary which interviewed a man in Leitrim who had been involved in a band that had that was dabbling in this kind of material. Again, if once a lot of the dance halls became church owned or church controlled or controlled by other bodies like the Ancient Order of Hibernians, it might have been more difficult to get bookings for jazz bands or to have. I think it was less so much jazz specific bands as bands willing to play any kind of popular music of the day.
Of course. So was there a kind of a creeping process where the church or church affiliated bodies took control of a lot of these dance halls?
I suppose you get a mixture of some of the halls are parish owned, which would be kind of directly church controlled. There's also, I suppose, various local notables who might be sort of God-fearing Catholics, not necessarily directly associated with the church. But again, there's in the legislation, the first of the seven criteria that's listed is around the character of the applicant, including their financial and other situation. But character, which is one of those words we still hear in Irish courts today, was very much to the fore in judges' decisions. So
and this was still going on in the 1960s.
So in the 1960s, you get exactly 30 years after the legislation is introduced, you get a lot of the same complaints and ideas. And I suppose, you know, in the three decades since, obviously Ireland has changed a lot, the world has changed a lot, and people are kind of looking for direction. There's a letter from an 18-year-old sent in to Father Simon O'Byrne, who was styled as the teenager's priest in the Standard.
Wow, and that was an ill-judged title.
This is the title that ran for many years in the Standard, and letters explicitly addressed to dear teenager's priest. So one of them was from an 18-year-old who asked how to enjoy oneself without sinning. This seems to have been a major issue. Like, what do you do that's actually moral? How do you stay on the right side of the line? A 40-year-old Irish girl, as she's described, writes a letter to the mothers of Ireland, a warning suggesting that their lovely sons may be house angels but dance hall devils. And you get a whole slew of correspondence in the Standard around that, from women agreeing with the immorality of men, some men kind of defending themselves, and then inevitably lovers of Cayley music saying there's no devils at Cayley dances. So, you have the Irish music as a sort of protective veil or something. Yeah.
But I would imagine in the 60s and the 70s, you know, in the show band era, it was King Canute time as far as the church was concerned.
This is the thing, and you get a very interesting mix of material in the Standard in the 1960s. You know, there's discussions about the Beatles. So on the one hand, you know, John Lennon says we're bigger than Jesus, and that doesn't go down well. But they're still trying to stay, you know, the paper is trying to stay relatively hip. They run a band of the week piece where they kind of invite people to vote for their favourite show bands. At the same time, you have Pope Paul VI coming out against Teddy Boys and Mods and Rockers. So you get this very weird mix of trying to stay, as the language of the time goes, with it and, you know, up to the moment, and yet absolutely terrified that, you know, all hell has broken loose, as you said, that we're in King Canute era. So,
And this legislation is still on the books.
It is still on the books. I know it comes up. It still comes up in the context of opening hours. That's one of the issues that you most see it raised when there's, you know, an effort to change the opening hours. Or there was a specific controversy maybe 10 or 12 years ago about whether lap dancing clubs fell under this or not. There has been amendments, but the legislation in its kind of basic form is still there. If you want to run an event, you go to the local district court, and the the judge decides whether or not to grant the application.
How things have changed. Daniel, thank you very much for coming in to speak with us today. That was Daniel Carey there, postdoctoral researcher at DCU.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.